Connecting with others is often the unwritten priority of leadership. What are the keys to connecting and networking as a pastor and leader? And how can we channel our energy into effective and productive connections? We discuss this and more on today's episode of the Five Gifts Podcast. You're listening to the Five Gifts Podcast, a weekly show designed to equip leaders in the Spirit-filled church. I'm Bruce Ritter, and along with my co-host, Charles Russell, we offer insights for leading the local church in the fullest expression of Jesus. If you're interested in learning more about practical theology, the gifts of the Spirit, and spiritual disciplines, this is the show for you. Welcome to the Five Gifts Podcast.
Hey, welcome to the Five Gifts Podcast. We're thrilled that you're here today. We're going to be talking again about another aspect of connecting. In our communication, so get a good something cold to drink, a good snack, and just pull in and just engage with us today as we talk about how to connect. Bruce, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. Had a night at the ballpark last night with our church and saw the Burlington Sock Puppets in action, and man, they have really reinvigorated that minor league ballpark. It's a fantastic space to mm-hmm. meet, and so we really enjoyed that. Had our church there in one section of the ballpark, and we just had a great time.
The sock puppets, huh?
Yeah,
I didn't know if you went to a ball game or VBS, but I'm glad you glad you explained that for me. How'd they come up with the name sock puppets? Do you know?
I have no idea, but man, they have put a lot of energy into public relations, and they've made some really nice upgrades to that ballpark. And I was really impressed. I thought the whole fan interaction, they even do some things with local organizations in town that I just think are really creative, and they do a fantastic job.
Well, that's cool, man. Well, we're doing good over here in our part of the world too. Getting ready to go on a few days of vacation, trying to line up a fishing trip for the family, get everybody out on the water and do a little fishing, make some memories. And so we'll report back and tell you how successful or unsuccessful we were. But that's neither here nor there. Today's all about making connections. And here's the aspect we want to talk about today is that connecting requires energy. It always requires energy. And so we're going to try and pump up the energy a little bit today, make some connections. So as we kind of start into our discussion with connecting always requires energy, I want to start with kind of four unpardonable sins of a communicator. And so four simple things that are just, as the title says, unpardonable. Number one is being unprepared. Being unprepared. Secondly is being uncommitted. Third would be being uninteresting. And fourth would be being uncomfortable. Again, I just want to read those. Just read them again for us. The four unpardonable sins of a communicator: being unprepared, being uncommitted, being uninteresting, and being uncomfortable. Now, the common thread through that list of four unpardonable sins, the common thread that holds them all together is that all four of those sins require energy, or they are a result of a lack of energy. We haven't expended energy to prepare ourselves. We're not expending energy to commit ourselves. We haven't spent the energy to make things interesting, to make ourselves interesting, the subject matter interesting. And we've not spent energy so that we are comfortable during the communication process. And it prohibits us from connecting. If one or all of those four are present in our communication, it's going to be extremely hard to connect. So it's critical it's critical that as we communicate, in order to connect, listen, we can communicate without energy, but in order to connect with people, we're going to have energy. Energy is a facilitator of connection as we communicate. So Bruce, talk to just briefly about some unpardonable sins, and tried to introduce the fact that that energy is crucial to making connection in our communication. Networking is also an important part of our communication and our leadership, and that is an exercise that requires a massive amount of energy. Do you have any practical suggestions for us in regards to networking?
I do. I do have some tips for networking. But I like to say, just give you one thought about before I get into these tips. Networking, mm-hmm. networking is vital. I said earlier that it is the unwritten priority of leadership, communication or connecting is. And so connecting, networking is a huge part of connecting. It's the ongoing work of connecting with people, networking. And it's vital, and it needs a sense of urgency and priority about it. Whether you're in the marketplace, or whether you're serving in the local church, always, always be networking. Keith Ferrazzi, he wrote a book entitled Never Eat Alone. And he said networking has, keeping your robust social networking is important because it provides a safety net, what he describes as a safety net. And what he says in that book, he says, experience will not save you in hard times, nor will hard work or talent. If you need a job, if you need money, advice, help, hope, or a means to make a sale, there's only one surefire, fail-safe place to find them, and that's within your extended circle of friends and associates. Mm. So it's also been said that when we think about our organizational health, we need to worry less about empty pocketbooks and assets. We need to be more concerned about depleted contact lists. When you think about your company or your organizational survival, it's natural to zero in on things like money, resources, assets. But we really need to be equally concentrated on managing connections within our network. So if we want to consider some tips to, you know, keep networking well, there's a great set of tips, and these are not mine. They're written by Susan Rowan, and it's in a book entitled How to Work a Room. And so she says, first, possess the ability to make others feel comfortable. The idea of networking is maybe uncomfortable to you or to me. And honestly, to me, I wouldn't say it's a strength. So part of doing it well is possessing the ability to make others feel comfortable. And so being approachable, being affable, being proactive, one of the great ways to network is to be a there you are person. To go and to meet people with the sense that you are there to get to know who they are and not just introduce yourself. Secondly, appear to be confident and at ease. You know, work out all your anxiety beforehand and make sure that you can walk into a room with a sense of calm and confidence. Thirdly, have an ability to laugh at yourself, not at others. Be self-deprecating. Be willing to laugh at yourself. Make jokes about yourself. Number four, show interest in others by maintaining eye contact, by being self-disclosing, sharing about yourself, even maybe the not so greatest parts about yourself. Ask questions and always practice listening. Listen to what people are saying. Maintain your focus on them and listen. Listen, listen, listen. Number five, extend yourself to others. Lean in to a greeting with a firm handshake and a smile. Number six, convey a sense of energy and enthusiasm. I think that's the presence you bring into those networking situations. And that may happen. That may happen in formal networking environments as well as informal, but always maintain that sense of energy and enthusiasm. Number seven, people that network well are well-rounded. They're informed. They're well-mannered. They have this sense of understanding the circumstances that they're in. They bring content into those situations. Number eight, always prepare in advance with vignettes or stories of actual experiences or occurrences from your own life that are interesting, humorous, and appropriate. Number nine, introduce people to each other with an infectious enthusiasm that motivates conversation between new introductions. Let me tell you why that's important. Because in a networking environment, the goal is to get to know people. And if you're there part of the process of helping people network with others, then you're only strengthening that environment of connection with yourself. So always learn to help other people meet each other. And then lastly, convey respect and genuinely like the people that you're networking with. Be curious. Show a genuine interest in who they are, what they do, what their strengths are, what they bring to the people around them. That really is the core of communicating, by showing respect and a general affability toward other people. But again, all of this requires energy. And I can tell you, as an introvert, I have to be uniquely focused on networking opportunities. I have to bring a lot of focus, a lot of preparation to that. And that takes energy. Charles, what are some things when you consider proactive ways of using energy for connection?
Well, I believe, there's going to be about five that we're going to talk about here. But before we talk about those five, I think here's a great question to ask oneself is, am I an introvert or am I an extrovert? And depending on your answer, the follow-up question would be, how have you adapted so that you can connect? And if I'm an introvert, and Bruce, like, as you said, you are, and I am as well, we're both introverts. And so there's adjustments that are adaptations we have to make so that we can connect. And like you said, it requires a lot of energy. On the other hand, if you're an extrovert, what are the adjustments that you have to make in your communication style and process so that you can make connections? So whether you're introvert or extrovert, there are some adjustments to be made, and maybe these could be five proactive ways that we can use energy for connecting. So number one, I would say is that leaders, or maybe in this context, connectors go first. Connectors or leaders go first, because here's the point: connecting requires initiative. Connecting requires initiative. That'd be number one. And so to initiate means to go first. Leaders or connectors go first. So that means I've got to put myself out there. I've got to find the courage, the bravery. I've got to find the faith to step out and maybe do something I'm uncomfortable doing, or maybe something that I would probably naturally defer and let someone else do. I want to connect. And so if I'm going to connect, it requires initiative. So I have to go first. Again, we talked about the kind of the ladder of connecting in the last episode. Same ladder, different episode, one-on-one, a small group, in a large group environment. It doesn't matter. If you're going to connect in any of those environments with people, the connector is going to go first. So kind of a coaching question could possibly be, what could happen when you hesitate to initiate connecting in a group? you know, you have these great dreams and aspirations and great ideas of what you want the conversation, or you want the group setting, or you want the large group communication event to look like, some great end results. But what could happen if you hesitate to initiate connecting in those settings? If in a one-on-one conversation, what if you fail to initiate that connecting initiative? What if you don't take initiative to connect? Well, there may not be a very good conversation that takes place. You could miss a great opportunity. It's kind of like the terrible dad joke that says, what did one introvert say to the other? And the answer is, well, nothing. They're both introverts, you know. So if you don't take initiative, there's not going to be much conversation, and you can miss a great opportunity for learning, great opportunity for connecting, and a great opportunity for advancing whatever it is that you're working and collaborating on together. You've got to take initiative, because leaders or connectors go first. A second piece of that initiative, connecting, requiring initiative, a second part of that is just simply personal preparation. You got to know yourself in order to grow yourself so that you can gain mental and emotional clarity. So again, having self-awareness is what we're talking about. And that's so important, so vital for a leader to lead effectively, is being able to know yourself so that you can grow yourself. All right, this is who I am today. This is where I am. And I want to grow in my connecting skills, so you can begin to take action to become a better connector. Third component of connecting, requiring initiative, would be people preparation. All right, who are the people that I'm going to be, that I want to connect with? Again, if it's one-on-one, small group, or in that large group environment, here's some great questions you can begin to ask to prepare yourself, and not just prepare yourself, but to prepare for the people that you're going to connect with. Who are they? Who are these people? Who's going to be in the room? Who's coming to the event? Who's coming to the small group that I'm leading? Who is the other person on the other end of the one-on-one conversation that I'm getting ready to have? Who are they? What do they care about? What are their interests? What are the things that they care about? Another question would be, where do they come from? What's their background? What's their history? What's their story? Another question, why are they here? Why are they in this church? And some of that could come out from their story, but you know, what brought you here? What's attracted you here? Why are you choosing to stay here and worship with us? And why are you wanting to become involved? Why are you here? Here's a great question. What do I have to offer them? It's a good question to begin to ask as you're thinking about serving people. And that's what connecting does. Connecting with other people is a means by which we can serve others. And so it's a great question to think through. What do I have to offer this person or this group? And here's a powerful question to kind of wrap it up. How do they want to feel when we conclude? By the end of the conversation, I begin to shift my thinking, not from what do I want to accomplish, what do I want to feel, but think about the other person's point of view. How do they want to feel when the conversation's through, or when I give the final word of the large group message? How does that audience want to feel? What are their expectations when it's all said and done? How do they want to feel? So some good questions to ask in regards to preparing ourselves for people. Another component would be professional preparation. listen, if you communicate and you connect well, you must know that what you've got to know what you're talking about. In order to communicate well, you got to know what you're talking about. And that requires that we deliver substance. So we, you know, we don't want to just get up there and just kind of flippantly talk and, you know, about random things and just, you know, if you're going to do it, do it well. And if you do it well, you have to deliver substance. Let there be depth to your communication. So here's a good question to reflect on. What are some ways you can add depth in your material to add value to others? So that, again, that would be professional preparation. And all those components kind of would comprise the idea of this idea of connection with energy. So, Bruce, we've talked about connecting requires initiative. What's another point of connection?
Well, before I get to that, I just want to make a comment, Charles. When you mentioned the energy of showing initiative, and mm-hmm. You know, I think one of the things that, whether you're an extrovert or introvert, when you're coming into a networking environment, it is important to use your energy to focus on the other person. As an extrovert, you're an outward processor, and you can tend to be outwardly processing things about you. The introvert can also be so focused on themselves, maybe being self-conscious in the room, but you're processing inwardly, and that may take a lot of the energy that you need to be used in, you know, everyone has a finite amount of energy. It's not like we have energy to spare. And so an introvert that is energized by that inward thinking, you're going to have to pull that out. And mm-hmm. and the way for this is so interesting that an introvert and an extrovert, when they start focusing on other people, it begins to moderate the use of themselves. They begin to pour energy into focusing on other people rather than just that inward focused energy of the introvert, or that outward processing about self that an extrovert might do. I thought that was very good, Charles, and highly instructive. Another requirement, energy requirement of communication is patience. I mean, connecting with people requires patience. And, you know, a good connector is not someone that's rushed. They're not someone that is, even though they may have an agenda and there may be some urgency about that agenda, a good connector is someone that shows patience. Patience may look like being calm. It may look like someone that's very, very disciplined in their pacing, but connection is that demonstration of patience. It's pouring energy into waiting on people, sometimes waiting people to, you know, to make it through a learning curve. It's waiting on people to finally get it. It's waiting on people to process and get to a place where they are on the same page with you. So you may want to ask yourself, what does slowing down, how could slowing down allow me to connect better with my team? How could slowing down help me better lead my team? You may also want to ask yourself, what does patience require of me as a coach or a mentor? How do I pace myself better with the people that I'm working with? So I think that's an important question. Another requirement of good connection is selflessness. You know, I alluded to that a few minutes ago when it comes to the way we're communicating, the way we're connecting with people as introverts or extroverts, being focused on them. And so, you know, thinking of what a selfless person does, they're people who give and people who take. A selfless person is more of the giver. They see themselves as an equipper, as someone that is seeking to empower others, to lift others, to elevate others. So I know a lot of the context for this is in networking, but this is something that applies to just general leadership, is that, you know, leadership is not someone that's always getting things done for them. It's engineering and leveraging assets and resources to help other people improve. So think about the kind of people that are energizing and life-giving that, that you found in your life. It's probably people that were very selfless. The truth is we feel connected to people that are giving and empowering and helping us grow. And we're drained by the takers. So connection requires a selflessness. Connection also requires stamina. Connecting with others is in a truly authentic, intentional way. Can also be very taxing physically, mentally, and emotionally. So you have to create a pace that works for you. You don't want to be inattentive to someone that needs your input just because you're drained. So you need to work on the pacing that helps you maintain stamina. And so think about the strategies that you put in place to ensure that you fill up your reserves. What kind of downtime do you need? What kind of recharging time do you need? The funny thing is I'm very introverted. My wife is very extroverted. And as an extrovert, she can put herself in situations where she's on the go. She's been working with her team. She's been getting initiatives going and she can come off a big conference weekend. It's hard for her to wind down because she's always outwardly processing. How did it go? Who did I connect with? What did I learn? And so she has had to become very disciplined at allowing herself, you know, that break to wind down. And you have to do that because you're going to wake up tomorrow and people are going to need your input. They're going to need your ability to connect with them. So it takes stamina, and you've got to be able to refill your tank. Charles, how do we connect with people at different levels, though? I think that's probably the next follow-up to some of these things we've talked about.
Sure. Well, again, our connecting principle we're talking about today is connecting always requires energy. And here's kind of a key concept in that is that the larger the group, the more energy that's required to connect. So as we, again, going back to our connection ladder, if you will, connecting one-on-one, a great practice would be to write down on a sheet of paper the significant things that happen to you during the day. Why in the world would I do that? Because just as a personal encouragement for me, this would be a great thing for me to practice. Just jot down, take note of the good things, the significant things, important things that's happened to me just in a day-to-day basis, because I know that at some point, my wife and I are going to have some time to, you know, we're going to talk and she's going to want to know. She wants to hear my words. She wants to hear what's happening and taking place. And I've got to be better than just giving a, you know, one or two word or one or two sentence answer. She wants to be able to know and to understand. So for me, who I'm very skilled at just giving an answer that pleases me, I've got to think about, I'm not answering for myself. I'm answering for the benefit of my wife. And so for me to have kind of a script, if you will, or a list of the important or significant things that's happened during the day would really do wonders for me in building connections with my wife, because I'd be able to have something good to really talk about and to really explain to her, hey, these are the things that happened today that are significant. Here's what they were. Here's how it all kind of went down. You know, here's what was going on. It just gives you an ability to make a deep and meaningful connection. For important things, you don't want to tell someone else before sharing it with the specific person. So you know, there might be things on my list that I don't want to share with anyone else until I've communicated with my wife first about those issues. There may be family issues or family dynamics that come up, and I need to, before I go tell my daughters, I need to be able to communicate this with my wife first, and then we can share those things with the entire family. So if for some things that are of high importance, make sure that you share it with a specific person first before you begin to share that with everyone else. And then take time each day to go over your list with each other. So I said earlier, I know that at some point in the day, there'll be time that for my wife and I to talk. But I know for certain there'll be time if we're intentional and we schedule those times. So don't just take it for granted, but be intentional. Schedule some times in your daily routine, even if it's just a few minutes, because I understand schedules can be hectic, especially when, you know, when you've got multiple children in the home and multiple schedules trying to function independently of one another. So try to be intentional and schedule in some time each day that you can go over your lists with each other. So that's one-on-one. That's one rung of the ladder. Bruce, it's got to be some good wisdom you can impart to us about connecting in a group.
I think you set a really good context, because you said the larger the group, the more energy, and that's true. So when you're moving to connecting with a group, and I think connecting one-on-one and connecting with maybe the larger audience is is different than connecting with the group, because in a group, a smaller group, people are expecting individual attention. And so when you think about connecting with your group, make sure you go to each person before the session begins and introduce yourself. Set the tone. Let them know that you're there for them. And again, that takes energy. That takes focus. That means that you're not just preparing to work through the agenda. You're focused on them. And so make sure you help that group feel like there's individual attention given to each individual member. Secondly, you want to discover something unique about them and by simply asking questions. One of the best traits for a leader when it comes to working with people and being others focused is to maintain a sense of curiosity. Yeah. Always have a few questions in your back pocket that you can say, that you can bring out in those situations. How are things going for you? Tell me what's working. Tell me what you're excited about. Dive into what makes that person uniquely them and uniquely them in that specific context, whether it's the project manager, whether it's a vital member of the team. Always get to know them, because that elevates their sense of importance. That means that you're paying attention to them, and it shows a degree of interest that goes beyond, you know, just honoring them for an accomplishment. It helps them see that you're connected with them and just the day-to-day responsibilities that they have. Thirdly, give the group ownership of the meeting and the session. I think one of the valuable skills of a leader, regardless of your strength, if you can add some coaching skills, then you can become a better listener, and you can also ask those insightful questions in the moment that give the group a sense of ownership. Ask them to speak to where this meeting needs to go and what needs to be accomplished. Give them input. Give them the chance to say, you know, this would really be the best outcome for us, because it gives them a sense of ownership and investment in those group meetings. And then fourthly, draw people in by by telling others of, you know, telling others of the different uniqueness for each individual, how they relate, how it relates to the task, how it relates to the agenda. Always bring people in by elevating other people's accomplishments, other people's uniqueness. And it's a way to bring special attention on the members of the group that are have shown some remarkable initiative, some ingenuity. And it, again, it creates the narrative in that group that every member is important, and that you've done the hard work of, and the energy, you know, the energy requiring work of connecting with them, and you've made them a priority. Charles, what about connecting with the audience, the larger audience?
Absolutely. This is the environment you have to bring the energy. Otherwise it's going to fall flat. And if you don't have energy in this environment with the large audience, the large group setting, the connection will not be made. And so first thing we need to think about in connecting with an audience is that people come to an event, to the large group event, expecting to receive, not give. So you know, we've got to bring it. We have to bring something that we give to the in this large group setting. Secondly, the larger the crowd is, the more energy you must provide. So whatever level you think your energy is at, I would say check and double check and recheck again. And you may need to bump it up a little bit more to a higher level. It requires great amounts of energy to connect with an entire, you know, in a large group, large room environment. The larger the crowd is, the more energy you have to provide. And finally, the more energy you bring, the better you are at conveying energy to your audience. And so again, we've come to serve this audience. We've come to make connection with them. And the more energy that we bring into the presentation, into the sermon, into to the speech, the talk, whatever it is that you may be communicating, the more energy we bring, the better we are at conveying energy to the audience. And energy helps to pull the audience in. It's a conduit to help us make connection. You can have great content, and we want to have great content. We want depth. We want substance, but we need to have energy as well, because that helps to make the connection. It helps to seed the message in the hearts and the spirits and the lives of the audience. So the more energy we bring, coupled with the depth and substance of our content, that's a great environment for transformation to take place in a person's life as they receive, in a church setting for sure, the Word of God, the depth and the substance of God's Word, combined with the energy of the speaker, is a phenomenal combination that can bring new life, transformation, new God encounters in the life of the large group audience. So that would kind of be the ladder, I guess, the communication or the connection ladder for this component of connecting, requiring energy. Bruce, any final thoughts about making connections and energy and how all that works together?
Yeah, I think that's one of the things as a leader you underestimate. You underestimate the energy that it takes to connect with people. And you're going to find that people can be energy draining. Mm-hmm. That certain people are uniquely gifted to drain your energy. but just in general, working with people is giving out. And I can't stress enough how important it is that you've got to have stuff in the tank before you're on point as a leader. You have to be engaged. And you know, Charles, I was just thinking when you were talking about connecting with an audience, You know, there have been days when following sermons, more than a handful, believe me, probably the majority of Sunday afternoons, it's common to feel that moment where you're spent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and in preaching, you have this priority of conveying scripture and the principles and what was the word of the Lord today. And to know that one of your priorities as a minister of the gospel is to be faithful to that.
Mm-hmm.
But there comes that moment on Sunday afternoon where you're spent. And I don't want to go too far with this, but you know, I work out a lot. I sweat a lot. I put a lot of effort into working out, and it's a different kind of tired after preaching.
Yeah.
Compared to my morning workout on Wednesday morning, it is a different level of tiredness. And I can only encourage leaders to recognize that you're draining yourself at a different level when you're connecting with the larger audience, and you need to be prepared. You need to have your tank filled up.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, I've even heard pastors talk. You know, you mentioned working out and physical exercise. I've heard other pastors talk about nutrition. You know, really paying attention to what we feed ourselves and ingest in our bodies in relation to communicating, speaking, especially in a large environment. So I think you're absolutely right about the physical aspect of preparing ourselves, because there is a tiredness. It is a different kind of tiredness. You're right. That comes, and we have to be ready to combat that and navigate through those challenges. So, well, that completes our discussion today about connecting always requires energy. And so we hope you've benefited from our time together today. We're praying that you and that we, that all of us together, just continue to grow in our abilities to connect with people, because we want to serve people through our connections. If you'd like to connect with us further, you can reach Bruce at coachingcardia.com. You can reach me with church issues at charlesrussellministries.com, or if you have organizational questions outside of the church, charlesrusselltraining.com. In regards to the podcast, thanks for joining us. Don't forget to share, follow, like, subscribe, do all the things, hit all the buttons, help us to get the word out. And we want the whole world to know about the Five Gifts podcast. It's been a joy and a pleasure connecting with you today. We are in the Dominican Republic right now as you're watching this. And we've enjoyed a phenomenal week of ministry in the DR. Next week, we'll see you from the United States, from North Carolina, and we'll connect again. Hope you have a great week, and we'll see you again on the Five Gifts Podcast.
You've been listening to the Five Gifts Podcast. If you would like to take the next step as a spiritual leader, we invite you to visit either of our websites or contact us for leadership coaching. We can help you reach the next level in your own growth and leadership. We provide leadership, spiritual gift, and personality assessments that give you a better grasp of your leadership style. And we also create a customized growth plan that empowers you to reach your full kingdom potential. We can't wait to hear from you.